Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
That was intense. Now, I promise that relates to our sermon today. And some of you are like, how in the world can that relate to our message? But it does, because we're in the middle of a series right now that we're calling the 21-Day Challenge. And we started this series last week. And what we're really talking about is we're talking about some best practices that I believe God has given humanity for our life. And these best practices are called spiritual disciplines, as we said last week. That sounds awful, right? Spiritual discipline is a really bad sounding word. But all it basically means is exactly what I said. It's a best practice for our life. It's things that God's given us that if we put into practice on a daily basis in our life, it makes our life better. Now, it doesn't make it better because we're going to get richer. It doesn't mean we're going to get healthier. We get better because we have more of God, because it helps us understand God better. It helps us fall in love with Him more, and it really grows our relationship with Him. As I said last week, the thing we're talking about last week, this week, and next week, all these practices, we don't do them to please God. We don't do them hoping that He's going to like us more. We do them because they'll make us like God more. If you are breathing right now, God could not love you any more than He does right now. There is nothing you could do to make Him love you more. There's nothing you could do to make Him like you more. There's nothing you could do to make Him happier with you than He is at this very moment. There's nothing you can do to change that either. He is wildly and madly and deeply in love with you. And He was so in love with you that He sacrificed His own Son in your place so that He could have a relationship with you. That is how crazy He is about you. So we don't do these things to try to make God like us more. We do these things because we begin to learn, we understand how to follow God more, and we fall more and more in love with God, and it makes our relationship with Him stronger and better, and it builds our faith, and it gives us more peace and more satisfaction and more contentment in our lives. That is why these things are good for us. That's why they're better. And so we started a series last week called the 21-Day Challenge, because our thought is, if you could try these practices for 21 days, we believe you'll keep doing them. And with summer coming, many people are trying to do crash diets to get ready. They want a summer-ready body. So we decided to do 21 days to a summer-ready soul, because obviously I think that's way more important. And so last week, we kind of began this challenge, and as we talked about last week, we actually set up a website to try to help you on this challenge. The website's right here, and it's wellspringchurch.tv/21-day-challenge. And this website's available for you. If you haven't been there yet, you should go check it out. We're kind of walking through each day of the challenge. We have kind of helpful videos for the challenge. We're actually asking you to share your stories because we want to hear what God's doing in your life as you go through these things. And so we invite everybody to participate in this challenge, because here's the amazing thing about these spiritual disciplines. Here's the amazing thing about these best practices for life. They work whether you believe in God or not. If you're here, you've been a Christian for 20 years, and you say, yes, I know about this stuff, if you put these into your daily life, they'll get better. If you're here today and you say, I don't believe in God at all, I'm here because somebody drugged me here, I didn't even want to come, you know, but I'm going to sit through this because they promised to buy me food afterwards, that's why I'm here. If that's why you're here today, fantastic. I'm really glad you're here. Make sure they buy your meal, because I tell them to do that. But what we're going to talk about today, you can put into your life. You can put into practice. You can try these things for the next 7 days, because they work whether you believe in God or not. But I'll warn you, if you try these things for 7 days, at the end of 7 days, you're going to find yourself believing in God more than you did the 7 days prior, which I think is a great thing. You know, it's kind of why I quit a job in Texas, moved here to start a church, because I believe that life is better with Jesus. And I believe your life will be better with a growing relationship with the God of the universe. And so that's why we're doing the 21-Day Challenge. Okay? Last week, we began the challenge talking about reading the Bible. And I challenged you guys to read one chapter a day for 6 days. And then we've all come here together today. We're going to read Bible together. And then we're going to challenge you again to start a new challenge tomorrow. If you read the Bible with us for the last 7 days, here's what I would bet. I would bet you were kind of stunned at how well it worked. You're like, man, like maybe nothing like dramatically changed in your life, but you just felt more centered. You just felt more peaceful. You just felt more anchored to God. And it's because you were spending time with Him every single day. And so what I hope you'll do is to continue to do that over the next 14 days, and you will add the second spiritual practice we're going to talk about today, this second spiritual discipline. And you probably guessed it from the video. The spiritual discipline I want to talk about today is prayer. Prayer is simply our form of communication with the God of the universe. It's our way of talking to Him. It's our way of hearing from Him. It's a conversation that we are invited to have with God. And now last week, I had to spend a fair amount of time telling you why you should read the Bible. If statistics are true, I don't have to tell you why you should pray. The last survey they did, over 80% of Americans say they pray a couple times a month. Now, that probably means, dear God, please let me get this light, right? Dear God, please let her say yes. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, please let us win this game. You know, I don't know why, but the idea of talking to God isn't really that crazy. It's depicted in in movies, as we just saw. It's depicted in books. Like, people always think about talking to God. So the why you should pray, we're going to get to it, but I'm not as concerned with the why you should pray as the how you should pray. And that's really why we showed you that video. We showed you that video because there's debate in that video about how you should pray. I love her line when she says, I want you to do this grace good so God will let us win tomorrow. Right? And we all laugh, but I think that there is a component to most people when they think about approaching God and they think about having a conversation with the God of the universe. If you believe in God, I mean, that means you think He spoke and the Word came into existence. I mean, the world came into existence, and you get to have a conversation with that guy, right? So we tend to think that we maybe have to perform a certain way. We have to act a certain way. We have to look a certain way. We have to say certain things so that we can be appropriate in our conversation with God. Which, again, that makes sense. If you are going to meet a high-ranking official in the United States, if you're going to meet the governor of South Carolina, or if you're going to meet the president of the United States, see what I did there? Both parties, can't get mad at me. If you're going to meet either one of them, depending on which one you respected the most, you would act appropriately. There would be a certain protocol. And when you approach them, you would say, hello, Mr. President. Hello, Mrs. Governor. It's very nice, you know. You would do all these certain things. And so it makes sense that we apply that same logic to God. And possibly you even have a religious background. You came up in a certain denomination that told you there's certain ways to pray. There's certain times to pray. There's certain words you have to pray. There's certain places to pray. So we can all get wrapped up in the how. And we can become worried that if we don't do it right, it won't work. That if we don't do this grace good, God's going to get mad at us, and God's not going to listen to our prayer, and we're not going to be able to have a conversation. So what I really want to do today is really help dispel that myth, because it's not true, and it's not true because I say it's not true. It's not because I want it to be not true. It's not true because Jesus Himself says that's not true. Jesus says that's not the way prayer works. You do not have to perform for my Father. That's what Jesus says, and He says it right in the middle of one of the most famous sermons ever taught. If you've ever heard, you know, if you've ever heard anybody say anything like, man, I'm not really crazy about Christians, but I love Jesus, right? I love what Jesus taught. I love the way Jesus felt about people. They are probably saying that because of what He taught in something called the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus kind of presents a new ethical system of ethic behavior for Christians. And He says we're supposed to take care of poor people. And He says we're supposed to forgive everyone. And we're not supposed to hate anybody. And we're supposed to not even have enemies. And if someone attacks us, we're basically supposed to give back to them. Or we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Or we're supposed to forgive. And you know, all these things people really like about Jesus. Well, right in the middle of that sermon, right in the middle of this thing everybody loves about Jesus, He teaches about prayer. And what He says, I hope, will set some of you free today. Because what He says is, stop trying to perform. There is no right way or wrong way to have a conversation with my dad. He just wants to get to know you better. And so we're going to turn to the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, it's going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And what Jesus does, He gives us two very clear instructions for how we're supposed to have this conversation with God. And then He gives us an example. for how we can have this conversation with God. And the reason I'm sharing with you today is, like I said, I hope that for many of you today, it's going to lower your anxiety about approaching God. It's going to lower your anxiety level about how you approach him, because my belief is if you lower the anxiety about how to approach him, you're going to be more likely to approach him more often, which is honestly his entire point. That's the goal. So if you have your Bibles, you can join me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And here's what he says. First thing Jesus says, he says, when you pray. Notice he doesn't say if you pray. Notice he doesn't say when it comes up from time to time. He assumes you're going to pray. And he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. How many people like hypocrites? No one. How many people are hypocrites? All of you. Me included. But he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. What's he trying to say? He's saying, when you pray, don't try to impress people. When you pray, don't let other people be the target of your prayer. Don't use big words. Don't try to pray super long. Don't worry about other people when you pray. See, in Jesus' time, the religious leaders would do exactly what he said. They'd go on street corners. They'd go in the synagogues. They'd stand up in front of everybody. They'd pray for a really long time. They'd use really big words, and they weren't talking to God. They were talking to everyone in the room with their eyes closed. They were performing. Look how long I can pray. Look how smart I sound. Look how many big theological words I can use. And Jesus says, don't do that. When you pray, don't try to impress other people, because if you do, that's all the reward you're going to get. Other people will be impressed, and I won't even pay attention, because you're not talking to me. What Jesus says is, he says this. He says, instead, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. He says, no. Don't make other people the focus. Don't make other people the priority. Just talk to me. And the reward you'll get is me. Now, I grew up Baptist. We've talked about that a lot. I'm a recovering Baptist. It's nice to meet you. And in my church, prayer was a really big deal where I grew up. I grew up in a downtown, very fancy Baptist church where, like, there were pews and the choir with robes. And, there were no instruments in the room. If they brought in a guitar, they had to have a meeting about it. If you clapped, you were shunned. Like, it wasn't good. But every Sunday, someone would get up and pray right in the middle of the service, and they would pray so long. I mean, it would just go on. And I swear I think the staff got paid by the minute, because they would just go on and on and on and on. And I'm not trying to judge their heart, but I'm judging their heart. It was too long. They were just going on and on and on. And I'm a little scarred by this because I grew up Baptist. And, I grew up going on youth trips. We didn't get to go places like Motion. I went to White Oak Conference Center in South Carolina, which is literally the hottest place in existence. It is. Little known fact. And when we'd go to youth camps or even when I worked on staff at some youth camps, we would have these things at night where we would like see who was the most spiritual. We called it prayer time, but it wasn't. It was a prayer off. And basically it was, let's see who can pray the longest. And they would just pray so long and just on and on and on. It would be a competition. There's this one guy, when he would start praying, man, I just knew it was over. And forgive me, but I just wanted him to shut up. I wanted to go to bed. I was tired. It was late. But we have this tendency when we pray in a group, when we pray out loud, to perform. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying, no. Go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Now, some of you are saying, but Trey, you've already prayed in public twice today. And you'd be right, but I'm not praying at you. I'm talking to God. Now, I'm leading in prayer, but I'm not performing for you. And so he's not saying you can never pray in public. He's saying if you have a problem praying in public, if you are constantly trying to perform for other people, why don't you first just go shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And again, the reward is him. You will gain more of God. But the big point he's trying to make is this prayer thing, man, it's not a performance. It's not your opportunity to impress other people. But it's also not your opportunity to impress someone else. Look what he says. He keeps talking. He says, when you pray, don't babble on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. See, what God said, what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, not only don't try to impress people, he's saying, when you pray, don't try to impress God. Don't show off for God. Don't try to show him how much you know and how smart you are, how diligent you can be, how many times you can repeat it over and over and again. He's like, I don't need that. I don't need you to perform for me. I don't need you to impress me. I don't need you to try to do this a certain way. I don't need you to do any of that. And you may wonder, well, why not? He tells us. Jesus says, look, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. You can't perform for him because he knows the real you. He knows what happened last night. He knows the doubt you have right now. He knows the struggle you're going to have tomorrow. He knows the struggle you had last week. He knows it's not the way you talk. You ever heard people that like pray in old English? You know, oh, Heavenly Father, thouest art the greatest of thine. If it pleasest thou, Lord, bless me with a bountiful blessing of bounty. What? You don't talk that way anywhere else except to God. And God's like, that ain't you, man. See, that's the amazing thing. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The infinite, almighty, all-powerful King of the universe, the creator of everything, loves you. Not the best version of you, not the performance of you, not the cleaned up version you think's appropriate for him, you. He loves you, and he knows you, and he knows everything you need before you ask him. So you don't need to perform for him. You don't need to try to impress him. You don't need to come with all these big words or all these big things, because you are not participating in what God wants, because what God wants is to have a real conversation with you. Because he's madly and wildly and deeply in love with you. Warts and all. He knows it all. He knows how bad your breath is in the morning. He has seen you when you wake up. You look in that mirror and you go, whoa. He's seen it. And he says, I love it. See, what Jesus is trying to get us to do is to somehow grasp the concept that this guy really cares about us and that he accepts us for who we are. Now, he loves us too much to leave us there. He wants to grow us and he wants to change us to become men and women who have stronger faith and who become more like Jesus. And he knows that will never happen if you pretend to be someone else when you talk to him. What Jesus is really trying to say is that prayer is personal. It's not a performance. Prayer is an invitation to a conversation that will lead to transformation. That's what prayer is. And you got to be you when you come to the table. That's what he's saying. Because he doesn't want to transform the cleaned up version of you. He wants to transform you. And so what Jesus does now is he's like, okay, I've just given him two things, but probably not clear yet. So he says, I'm going to give them an example. I'm going to explain to them what this looks like. I'm going to teach them how to pray. I'm going to give them a model for how to pray because they probably don't believe me. They probably believe it's still got to be fancy. They probably think it's still got to be all these things. So what he teaches us next is something that I called the Lord's Prayer growing up. Maybe you grew up calling it the Our Father. But it's a prayer that Jesus says, this is a model for how you should pray. That doesn't mean this is the only thing you pray ever. That doesn't mean you have to always pray these things. Jesus is saying, pray like this. In fact, that's what he says in Matthew 6:9. He says, pray like this. This is his example for how to have a true conversation with the God of the universe. A true conversation where you speak and you listen. See, that's the other thing about when you're trying to perform, when you're trying to impress, it's really hard to receive what God's trying to say to you because you're too busy showing off for God. God said, man, I don't need you to show off. I want to hang out with you because I got some things I want to tell you. I can help you. I can set you free about that struggle. I can give you peace about your anxiety. I want to help you. But you got to be real with me. You got to open up to me so I can fill you up. So he says, pray like this. First line, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. What's that basically mean? Just a little reminder. You're God, I'm not. Now pause. What if you didn't even spend time praying this week? How would your life be different if you just reminded yourself multiple times a day, he's God and I'm not. He's in charge and I'm not. He's in power, I'm not. He's got a plan, I don't. He designed me, I didn't. He planned my purpose, I didn't. He's God, and I'm not. What Jesus is saying is, when you open your conversation with God, it is a good idea for you to remind yourself who you're talking to. To remind yourself that he's God, and you are not. The second line is pretty similar to the first. He says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, God, you're God. I'm not. I just want to remind me and you, I want your plan, not my plan for my life. Again, pretty good reminder, right? How would your life be different if you remind yourself every day you want God's plan, not your plan for your life? What decision would you have made differently this week? What issue at work would you have solved differently if you had been in an active conversation with God where you reminded yourself, he's God, I'm not, and I want his plan, not my plan. He's saying that's a good way to begin your conversation with God, but that's not all you can say. He says this. He says, look, give us today the food we need. He's saying you can ask God for food. This is really an example. You can ask God for anything. You can talk to God about anything because he already knows what you need. He already knows what you're asking for. And so what Jesus is trying to say is increase the intimacy here. He already knows. So just say it out loud. Ask him for what you need. Ask him for what you want. Ask him for what would be cool. Ask him for anything. It is an open conversation. Then he says this, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. He says, when you talk to God, you should probably confess the ways that you've dropped the ball today or this week and the ways you have stepped outside of God's plan for your life. That's a healthy thing to do, to confess the ways you've messed up. We confess to God so that God can remind us that we've already been forgiven and can help us to avoid those mistakes in the future. See, some people think we need to confess to God because every day we accumulate sin debt. And every time we mess up and we sin, we build up all this debt. And so every night we got to go to God and we got to X out the bank account and ask for forgiveness again so God can forgive us. That is not how it works. You were forgiven once for all time when Jesus died on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished. What was finished was not his life. What was finished was your death. What was finished was the punishment you and I deserved for our sin. All sin once for all time. So you don't ask for forgiveness today to actually literally be forgiven before God. You ask for you confess your sins so that God can remind you, I've already forgiven you. Here's how you can avoid those things. And also to remind you, since I have forgiven you, you must forgive other people. That's why it says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. You ask God to help you forgive other people. And then he concludes with this, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. They go together. Confession leads to the ability to avoid the next temptation. Because as you're open and honest with God about, hey man, I blew it today. I lost my temper with my kids. I can't believe I did that at work. I can't believe I lied for no reason. God, help me understand how to avoid that temptation the next time. I invite you into this moment. I invite you to be a part of my life. Help protect me from the evil one. And then Jesus stops talking. That is the end of the prayer. Do you know how long it takes to say the Lord's Prayer out loud if you say it in a normal conversational tone? It takes less than 30 seconds. So Jesus goes out of his way to say, don't try to impress God. He says, don't try to impress people. And then basically he says, and when you pray, be quick about it. Get to the point. Which makes perfect sense when you think of prayer as a conversation. You have friends in your life that it takes 10 minutes for them to get to the point. Because they're looking around and they get the phone calls and squirrel and they're just gone. It's not real pleasant, right? Which do you prefer? A two-line email that's to the point or a two-page email that says the exact same thing? How many of you just jump for joy when you hear your phone beep because you got a text message, and when you look at it, the entire screen is filled with text? No spaces, no punctuation, no line breaks. Use return. Hit return on your text. Put some space in those things. Give me some paragraphs so I can read it. You're like, oh my. My wife and I communicate basically through emojis at this point. Ding! 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 But do you know why we're able to do that? Because we have an intimate relationship. And because we stay in open communication with each other. I can text her throughout the day. She texts me throughout the day. We say what needs to be said because everything else is unsaid. We don't feel the need to perform for each other. And see, I believe that is what Jesus is trying to paint the picture for each of us, that when it comes to our relationship with God, he's trying to help us understand this life-changing truth that prayer is personal. It's not a performance. It is a personal conversation where you can be the truest, realest you are. When you are down and when you are hurting, you say, Jesus, I am down and I am hurting. When you are mad at God, you say, I am mad at you today. I feel like you let me down today. Do you know why you say that? Because he already knows you feel that way and he's decided to love you anyway. So why not let it out? I say this all the time to my family, say it out loud. There is something about saying it out loud to where it loses its power over you. Because when you say something out loud, you take it from the darkness of inside, you bring it to the light, and you put it up to God, and you say, God, I think you let me down today. And you say that out loud as you're praying, and God's able to say, really? Let me show you all the ways I've never let you down before. And let me help you see a different perspective on this. You think I let you down. But remember a couple years ago when you wanted something similar and I said no, and then a few weeks later you told somebody else, I'm so glad that didn't happen. Remember that? Well, what if, because I'm the same God I was and I still love you just as much, what if that's the same thing I'm doing right now? And you go, oh, okay. But see, that never happens if you don't have the conversation. That never happens if you don't talk to God. That never happens if you think prayer is a performance. If you think prayer is something you have to do standing on one foot. Prayer only works when we see it the way God intended it to be seen. An ongoing, unlimited conversation where you can speak freely and you can hear freely. I have a buddy that I've had since college, and we're really good friends. We know everything's going on in each other's lives, and literally, he'll text me, he'll email me probably about once a day, maybe more. Maybe you have a friend like this as well, where you just kind of keep in touch. It's kind of like a stream of consciousness through your day, talking to people, keeping up with people. And, you know, I don't really filter what I say to him. I just kind of let him know, hey, man, help me with this. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I saw this. This was cool. I really think that's what God wants. If you grew up in church, maybe you even heard the phrase, you know, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to pray at all times. Well, that doesn't mean you need to be on your knees with your hands folded and your eyes closed the whole time. What it means is you're always open to having the conversation. It means that when something comes up and you need God's help, you feel comfortable asking for it. When something great happens, you want to thank God for it. You feel comfortable going to God. That is what Jesus is describing. An open, continuous conversation between you and your heavenly Father. So, what I want to challenge you to do this week is to begin a conversation with the God of the universe. To open yourself up to talking to Him. And to freeing yourself from the need to perform for Him. And instead, get personal with Him. Invite Him in to the real, raw moments of your life. And just like last week when I gave you SOAP, which was a little acrostic to help you read the Bible, I want to give you another acrostic today, and we made it really easy. It uses the word pray. And what this basically does is this kind of describes what Jesus, the template Jesus lays out for us and what we should put in as part of our prayer time. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. You know, when you talk to God, as Jesus said, it's a good thing to praise God, to tell Him that He's God and you're not, to spend some time thanking Him for all the blessings in your life. In fact, I dare you, tonight before you go to bed, try to thank God for every good thing you have in your life. Try to thank Him for every blessing in your life. I assure you, you'll fall asleep before you finish the list. And an amazing thing happens when we praise God. I've talked about this before. Our brains are actually wired that when we seek to be grateful, when we seek to list the things that are good in our life and that happen, that we are thankful for, our brain actually releases a certain chemical that makes us feel better. It releases an anxiety-lessening formula because God has wired us that way. And if you spend some time just praising God and thanking Him for all the blessings in your life, you won't even have time to get to what's causing you anxiety because it'll probably be gone by the time you get there. You will never waste time praising God. But you don't just praise, you repent. You spend some time going through your day. God, man, I blew it here. Man, I don't know what was happening here. Help me understand how to avoid that in the future. Show me some steps I need to take practically to relearn some muscles and to relearn some practices and procedures and to grow some muscles so that I don't make these same mistakes again. Then you ask God for anything. I've been asking God for the Gamecocks to win the national championship for years. He's never said yes, but I'm going to keep asking. Right? You keep asking, but then the last thing you do is you yield. You yield. And you say, all right, your plan's better than my plan. I've asked, I've laid it all out, but just know, you're God, I'm not, I understand. I love you. You've always been there for me. You always will be there for me. I trust you. Now, let me just ask, what would happen this week if you decided to take up this challenge and you decided to at least once a day set some time aside to pray to your Heavenly Father? And to talk to Him about all these things. And what would happen if that led to an open conversation to where when you found yourself in a situation where you're about to get angry, when you found yourself in a situation where you had to make a decision, if you felt the freedom in that moment not to perform, not to do anything magical, but to step back and say, God, I need your help right now. Give me the peace not to wring my 5-year-old's neck. Give me the wisdom to make this decision at work. Give me the understanding and clarity to be able to talk to my teenager who has locked themselves in their room. Yeah, I'm talking about you, students. Don't lock yourself in your room. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You're welcome, parents. Just don't do it. Your parents are smarter than you, I promise. What would happen if in every interaction you had on a daily basis, you invited God in and you took Him up on His offer to have an ongoing conversation where He wants to give you power and give you strength and give you wisdom and give you encouragement and give you guidance for every single decision you had to make in your life. And all you have to do is ask. What would happen? What would happen if you truly embrace the truth that prayer is personal, not a performance? What would happen to your relationship with God? What would happen to your faith? I want to find out. And I want you to find out. So take the challenge, and every day this week, join us and pray. If you received the emails last week, we're going to send them out again. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we sent daily reminders last week with here's what we want you to read and some coaching and some encouraging. If you'd like to receive those emails, just take your connection card, make sure we have your email address, and write 21-day challenge on it, and we'll sign you up. You can also go to that website, wellspringchurch.tv/21-day-challenge. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's going to be everywhere. Because we want to make it as easy as possible for you to add this to your life. We still encourage you to read a chapter each week. What we're encouraging you to do, we're going to send you one each day this week. We're going to encourage you to read a psalm. Psalms are basically prayers that were written down and that we still have now and we can read. Most of them were written by a guy named King David. But some of the psalms were written by other worship leaders and other leaders of the time. And they're prayers. And so you can read these prayers to understand, oh, we really do have freedom to talk about anything with God. We don't have to perform for Him. We just have to come to Him and be ourselves and talk to Him. So this week, don't even worry about the next 14, for the next 7. What would happen if you kept reading the Bible, you kept being a part of that, and you added prayer, you added this conversation, and you were set free from thinking you had to do it a certain way at a certain time or a certain place, that you could just be set free to have a conversation with the God of the universe. And let me help you. Here's when I pray. I pray in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. I think through my day and ask God to give me clarity. I'll pray on my way to work. Do not close your eyes in the car. Keep your eyes open. Last thing I need is, well, my pastor told me to pray in the car. Keep your eyes open. Turn the radio off. Keep your eyes open and talk. You can pray at the gym. You know, again, I wouldn't move your mouth. People might report you. But just think it through. I pray before every meal. It's not legalistic. It's just a way for me to remind myself, God provided this for me. Thank you. I pray before I go to bed. There's no right way or no wrong way. It's a conversation. And I promise if you do it once a day, you'll start doing it more. Because you'll discover the freedom and the blessing of having the ability to have an open conversation with the God of the universe. You can talk to Him. He'll talk back to you. He'll speak to you. Probably not audibly, that'd be weird. But He'll just give you peace. And sometimes He will. He'll whisper truths to you and He'll bring an idea to mind and, oh, that's how I should solve it. Yes, that's it. And it's a two-way street. That's what you're invited into. A growing relationship with the God of the universe. So as we close, we're going to sing one more song. And my prayer is as we sing this song and as we close, this message that you will decide in your hearts right now that yes, it's worth trying this for 7 days. It's worth taking a step if it really does mean I might get the reward of a true, personal, growing relationship with the infinite, holy, powerful, almighty King and ruler of the universe. And He loves you. And He wants to get to know you. And prayer is His gift to make that possible. So try it for 7 days and see what happens. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. We just thank you for how generous you are. We thank you that you want to communicate with us. You want a relationship with us, with the real us. Father, I pray right now as we close and as we sing this song that you will just make this truth real in our hearts. That it's not a performance, that it can be personal, and it can be real, and it can be authentic. And we can be our very worst selves in front of you. And you'll still tell us you love us. God, I pray for every person in this room. May their lives be changed as their relationship with you grows. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.